Now, some researchers found that half of Australian cancer survivors suffer from financial stress. These include being unable to work regularly because of their health. It can affect the way they're able to access treatment, even their choices of treatment. Study was published by the Cancer Council and the Clinical Oncology Society of Australia. Professor Sanchia Aranda is the CEO of the Cancer Council of Australia. A very good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, I feel a little naive, to be honest, given my understanding of Australia's healthcare, but one out of two cancer survivors being hit very hard financially, I've got to say, I found that surprising.
We found it somewhat surprising, although we've noticed far more consumers are coming to us and telling us about out-of-pocket costs. So that was really the stimulus for doing this edition of the journal on this topic. But of most concern were the out-of-pocket costs that people are experiencing within our health system.
What sort of out-of-pocket costs are we talking about?
So they can be as low as small gap payments for specialist appointments, paying for some of their own drugs and things like dressings or hospital stays. But they can be as large as gaps like $20,000, $15,000, $20,000 for robotic surgery and prostate cancer, where those fees are just unexplainable.
So I'm imagining that this is going to have a big impact on the kind of treatment that people are seeking.
So certainly what this review showed was that it certainly makes people think twice about what they are going to have, and a very small number of those people potentially make decisions that will compromise their health. And we already know that mortality from cancer is higher in people in the lowest socioeconomic groups versus the highest group in Australia. So we have growing inequity in cancer outcomes. And so that's where we're really concerned that financial decisions are really compromising people's health outcomes.
And of course, if we're already finding people, obviously it's difficult to hold down a full-time job while you're going through cancer treatment, that's got to be doubling down on the already existing stress.
Exactly right. So in addition to these costs that people are bearing for the treatment, they are less likely to work. Sometimes it's also their family members can't work. Things like the isolated patient transport scheme covers the cost of the patient coming from a rural area to a major centre for treatment, but doesn't cover their accompanying person. All of those kinds of things add up. And we know from overseas studies, particularly in Asia, for poor people, that really does mean higher mortality.
This must also have a big effect on psychological well-being, which I know can be a big indicator of outcomes during treatment.
And indeed, that was one of the findings from the 50% of people who say that they are experiencing some stress. It wasn't so much that they couldn't afford it, but it meant that at a difficult time in their life, they were having to seek things like second mortgages on their houses to pay for treatments, or seeking financial assistance, having families and friends having to sort of chip in and find money to help them pay for some of these out-of-pocket costs. And that just all adds to the psychological burden of being diagnosed with cancer in the first place.
What can we do? Well, I mean, you shouldn't be going through cancer treatment to come out a survivor just to have to live a life of debt afterwards. What can we do?
So we are calling particularly on the medical profession to increase or change the standard of financial disclosure. We believe that in addition to telling patients about what might be happening in terms of costs associated with their individual treatment, that we need to take a whole-of-journey approach, because people with cancer get treated over a very long time and the financial stress builds up. We also believe that in addition to the disclosure of the finances, they should be talking to patients about alternatives that might exist in the public system, particularly where there will be far fewer costs, and that we really need people to get much better financial advice and not be surprised or feel compelled to do something like take out a mortgage to pay for treatment that may indeed be free elsewhere, or that there might be alternatives that are lower cost.
And what's been the response from the medical community? Are they amenable to these ideas?
Well, certainly the Royal Australian College of Surgeons has, in its financial disclosure statement, has indicated that these big out-of-pocket costs are unethical and unwarranted and would want to call their members to account. I'm not aware that any member has ever been called to account.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other piece that we can do is make sure that people realise there are services to turn to, like such as our 13 11 20 cancer information and support line, so that we can talk them through their ability to get a second opinion if they're facing these sorts of large costs. And we certainly need our welfare and work systems to be more in tune with the needs of people when they're going through cancer treatment.
Professor, it sounds like there's a few reforms that are required around there. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Professor Sanchia Aranda there. She's the CEO of the Cancer Council of Australia. One in two cancer survivors shouldering big financial burden. It's not only hitting the hip pocket, it is having a very real effect on their survival outcomes thanks to the ongoing stress to their psychological well-being. It's a big deal.